Hey everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to me. Today, I really want to talk about the idea of which the FDA might look into and might actually revoke the gay blood ban or the discrimination of homosexual males, whether cis or trans, from donating blood. Like, we would actually be able to donate blood plasma and be proud and out as gay men. Now, the thing is that lesbians and any other queer identity can donate blood or any bodily fluids, really. It's just us as gay men who cannot donate. This is so infuriating that I even wrote a paper on it, which I got an A, so yay. I do know what I'm kind of talking about here. Regardless of that, I really would want to talk about how the ramifications would be very positive, how far we have come from, you know, back then, in which we had a lifetime ban. If you were caught as a gay male, you know, you wouldn't be able to donate blood or any biofluid for that matter. And just looking to how we can maybe as everyday citizens be able to participate and assist in stopping the blood ban or in helping revoke it. Now, before I get a little bit further, I feel this would be perfect time for just a quick ad break. Now, this policy was to call for the end of the discrimination policy that is in place by the FDA towards gay men and trans men who have sexual relations with other men, otherwise known as MSM. Currently, as you all know, many blood banks are on the brink of being empty due to the pandemic. For example, some blood banks in metropolitan cities such as New York City may only operate or be able to operate for a few days or even less, depending on what day you review, before being unable to serve its many patients in need and be unable to save countless lives. They have even, unfortunately, turned to large ticket items, raffles, items, services, and even cash to try and receive the blood that they desperately need. They have even, unfortunately, since turned to large ticket items, services, and even cash to try and receive the blood that they desperately need. The theory that I chose on this, because this is my theory paper, and I just felt since like, oh my God, the FDA is actually trying to, you know, make us equal or have us treated equally when it comes to blood donations or any biofluid, as biofluid is then considered plasma, platelets, et cetera, et cetera. There is some theories that I do use. The theory that I use specifically was the arguments of Jeremy Bentham on his paper of positivism. The theory itself illustrates the legal policies and how they can work in harmony with society depending on a niche content. In this case and in this content, it's us as gay men needing our rights, which have been unfortunately violated. The definition of Jeremy Bentham goes on to consider the law in 8 respects: the source of the law, the subjects, the objects, aspects, forces, expression, and its remedial appendages that can be applied should a mistake occur in administration of the law for the law by the people in a society. Now, the following will be the 8 steps that we can apply to our case. These are my ideas alone. I am not a lawyer. I am not a professor of law, ethics, or anything of that. This is just me as a graduate student being proud of my paper and wanting to share it with you all so that way we're all more educated, whether you are a gay man, a lesbian woman, or whatever the case may be, darling, because these are our rights. First, who is the subject that is being applied to our case? Well, it is the people in the law concerning the theme on donations of blood or biofluid. And any individual should be able to donate irrespective of their sexual orientation. The purpose of the regulation of the law in this case is that people who are dying of bloodlust do not ask if the blood is white or black, if it is from a man or a woman, or if it is from a young person or an older individual. Thus, the purpose of the law should be to provide provide the life-saving material regardless of sexual orientation. The aspect, now this I kind of found a little tricky, of how it is applied is of which should call for the revisions of the FDA policy. So because the FDA applied this ban, this is why we should revoke it, because it is not sufficiently enough to be just for those deferred, i.e. us as gay men. Now, the following, or the fourth aspect, the reasoning behind it is because we see at the time during the 80s that a lifetime ban was made because society was at large, you know, the pandemic of AIDS, and before it was known as GRID. So on top of the stereotyping or the ascription of that, oh, as a gay male, you might have an STD, an STI, or God forbid, anything else, we have this ingrained in society. As before it was AIDS, it was known as GRID, or gay-related immunodeficiency syndrome. Again, tying us back to a idea of marginalization of a selected gender, which is male, and their sexual orientation of participating in MSM. Regardless, it is even more blatantly apparent that we have the technology now to warrant a revision and analyze the law concerning donations of gay men, as well as the donation of gay men. Now, finally, concerning the actual application of the theory, darling, is the expression of law must be held up with the utmost clarity. And fortunately, we have the technology to provide clarity. And the reason that gay men who are no less worthy of donating than their opposite gender and any other sexual orientation is a must. We can and should be able to donate if we so choose to want to. Now, finally, concerning all of this jazz is the actual remedial appendages, which would be implementing safe measures that allow for gay men to be able to begin donating any form of biofluid that they would like, as well as forgiving and pardoning the gay men who have been deferred due to orientation and not a real reason of causation of deferment, i.e. actually having a lifestyle that may be problematic to a donee, or actually having a bloodborne illness, etc., etc. Now, we have come a long way. There has been policy modifications since the AIDS crisis. Let's not deny that, you know, the FDA has done some good. It's just that, you know, it needs to be better. So before it used to be a lifetime ban, then it was a year. Now it's 3 months. It's like, okay, come on, let's be normal. Let's, you know, we're only human, and it's not like we actually have the quote GRID / AIDS, because the ban was rooted in fear of transmission, even from the stigma that gay men had GRIDs or AIDS. So the policy still holds its marginalization in character, because for any male that participates in MSM, this could be that straight curious gentleman, this can be me, this can be anyone who identifies as male and who has sex with other males, will still be deferred for a period of time, even though it has been adapted. So the 80s was a lifelong ban to the early 2000s, of which became a year-long ban. And now finally, in April of 2020, the specific month, I don't know the specific date, but obviously April of 2020, the ban has come down to 3 months after a male has had any form of sexual activity with a male partner. Now, you know, that's good. However, on top of that, many nations as well do not participate in, you know, the deferral of MSM because of the advancement of technology, and, you know, maybe they are influenced from liberal ideology because the amount of blood is not as much as received in these countries' blood banks. All of Europe, thankfully, does accept it. a few other of these countries are South America, Central America as well, and even Russia. Though Russia at the moment has a very complicated and troublesome relationship with queer in general, honey. The research that I found was that they do allow, for example, a gay man to donate. I don't know how they would donate it because, you know, that's nearly a death wish over there. But we could do it. Now, where I really do have a problem with the FDA policy, this is why I chose it for my paper concerning policy and so many other reasons, is because even a gay man who is donating in a monogamous relationship, monogamous long-term relationship, whatever the case and however you would like to classify, more than, you know, a year, 6 months, however you would like to look at it, whether it's our time or their time, Why do we have to abstain from sex for 3 months to even be able to donate? Like, no, that's, we know that we don't have any other partners, or, you know, we are monogamous, so we are our only sexual relations. Whether or not we get tested, you know, that can be easily done and arranged. So getting tested shouldn't be an issue as well. And if it comes out negative and it showcases that, you know, you are in a monogamous, loving relationship, you would still need to defer yourself from sexual gratification, pleasure, and, you know, the human need for 3 months. So where I'm going through with this is the ethical / unethical question of straight passing, and in turn lying to the medical practitioner, phlebotomist, whoever it may be, about one's orientation alone. This alone, if caught, will ban the donor from ever being able to donate their biofluid ever again. Unless in very extreme instances where a bit of rule bending could occur, could it be life or death for familial members? So this ban is based, again, on the scientific idea that participating in male anal sex with other males can protect the donation pool. However, this entire ban should not be based on science that was so long ago and outdated that could only perform a nucleotide testing in the AIDS pandemic or saliva swabs. It's very mundane almost and very insulting because now we have tedious fluid revisions done by engineered machines to find any errors, as well as advancements in saliva swabs, nuclei testing, etc., etc. So it's literally insulting that, like, oh, you know, we're in 2020 going on 2021, why can't we as gay men donate blood? Like, girl. Now, because of these grievous errors, darling, that have been made by the United States government, this policy that is being asked to replace the old would be first remove any deferred patients that wish to donate. This must be done by rigorous testing, as we now arrived in an era which the following symbol, U equals U, means undetectable is untransmittable. Many patients that were positive at one point now can keep the virus from being detected in blood tests and have equal results of plasma red blood cells and white blood cells as their non-positive counterparts, warranting further studies and tests to better confirm the reason for this, which of course is that they are untransmittable, which then should warrant even more testing that, you know, it's okay to donate, of course, with so much consent and many other studies, because at the end of the day, if you are positive, undetectable, you should still be able to donate if you wish, and if we arrive at the day of testing, you know, where we actually do find a legitimate cure and so many other positive things, great, we should be able to do it. However, if you know you don't want to, that's perfectly fine. Leading up to the example of, I couldn't find it, and I hated myself that I couldn't find it, but I recall that a lady somewhere in Europe, probably Europe anyways, was able to donate blood. I literally couldn't find the article because she was HIV positive, she donated, and there was no side effects. But then, you know, Google Scholar obviously didn't help, and Google itself, I tried so many ways. Anywho, the point being is that it is possible, and it should be possible. So, furthermore, what is especially needed concerning the Trump administration, and thankfully the new president-elect, Joe Biden, is to restore and develop the protections that were stripped away from the LGBTQ community, not only to ensure that federal, private, or public businesses cannot discriminate against transgender individuals, but to include a median person in case such confrontation should occur. Therefore, with even more of a need to restore these protections against human violations must be done before more grievous actions can occur towards the LGBTQ community at all levels of society and government. An example is the Red Cross, which is ultimately a nonprofit organization. Because of its extensive and intensive operations, they are assigned, quote, the legal status of a, quote, again, a federal instrumentality, end quote. Due to our character requirements to carry out responsibilities delegated to us by the federal government, end quote. This is on their website, hun. This is what they're saying. You know, they do have federal instrumentality, which does give them leverage at times of a federal level. Regardless, all organizations that carry out the mission to collect any biofluid are federally regulated and must receive licensing for collection. However, due to the many repeals of the Trump administration, any individual of the LGBTQ can be deferred by federal to private agencies, as any healthcare worker from January 18th of 2018 can now cite religious propaganda and deny services. This does not just include donations. This includes life-saving treatments or services. Now, with all that is occurring, the following is also suggested should an exam come forth as positive for any pathogen. Rather, a ban, a deferral should occur, whether it's based on the lifestyle of the person through a psychological screening that would actually be part of the intake of the donor of the medical facility, or through any other legal and ethical ways. Mine that I chose was the deferral because this would provide another layer of reference to ensure that a more holistic viewpoint of a person's background is conducted. Now, this is on the FDA and the Red Cross's website. The following should be the reason to raise an issue of concern of deferral. This could be casual sexual partners, sharing of needles, or any other activity that should warrant a high risk of bodily contamination. That is where I get my data from, and that is what should ultimately be referenced to cause deferral and ultimately at least a temporary ban. It should be noted also that the actual process of donating any biofluid, this case will be used as if one is donating plasma, documentation must be presented normally, which is a state ID, a state-issued ID, a passport, or a social security card is required to start the intake. This followed by a general physical examination questions and a urine sample that will be processed within a short period of time. After all of this, the patient may be rewarded for their time and donation should collection of plasma / biofluid have occurred. The grand flaw here is that, again, there is no real human contact except for the intake questions. Literally, all medical centers are putting in blind faith that the person will act in the interest of the recipient of the donated biofluid. After the initial intake, the person has no reference of which to go from there. Thus, an extra step should be added, you know, to the initial intake as well as for future visits to the centers. This would be psychological evaluation that can provide ethical solutions to the dilemma of who may or may not be able to donate, as well as satisfying the need to at least filter out candidates regardless of gender, sexual orientation, or identity. Because, you know, it could be able to... We could be disqualified for reasons that are just, instead of just being like, oh, you're gay, no, or oh, no, you're this, or oh, no, you're that. And we actually restore the value of being a donor who, at the end of the day, we are saving a life by either providing biofluid for medication or for actual transfusion, ensuring that a patient can have a chance at a long, prosperous life. Now, starting to close everything up, I thank you all so much for listening. How can, as gay men, can we be equal if we are deferred differently and if we are treated differently? How can, as gay men, be happy if we cannot donate necessary biofluid for our loved ones? We cannot be happy nor have the liberty to be able to contribute to the greater good of humanity and the great nation that is the United States of America, as well as the theoretical prospect that our queer brothers and sisters, as well as ourselves, will suffer even more at the bigotry that has made itself known during the Trump administration to be treated as second-class citizens. Now, the largest question that may be present against the case of the FDA and the ban of gay men from donating is the apparent why. No case has ever been brought forth. Well, that is simply because it is at an intersection point that our society still is hobbled by, which is science versus religion. Literally, we don't need to think that far versus anti-vax and now right now the COVID and this and that and the third. We as gay men may want to donate our blood that our creator endowed us with, but it will require patience to undo the stereotyping in our society. That being of hypersexualization as the MSM bans combine two themes of which people do not feel comfortable with, blood and sex. Between men, as stated by William and Mary Law Review. This, in turn, is why the queer community or the gay community, however niche one looks at, has never brought a single case towards the FDA to reappeal the decisions made by them concerning donation of blood for gay men. It will do the cause ultimately an injustice to pursue and repeal directly the FDA ban and its deferral clause concerning MSM. Rather, the most tactile plan I wrote is to let it unravel itself. Truly, time will solve this, as we have gone from lifetime to year to 3 months in less than a century. Surely the time will come when we are equal to others. Concluding, therefore, the path to equality for blood donations is not as clear or as active as once, though. However, it is clear, regardless of sex and gender, that protections must be placed for the queer community and further developed, as well as public education concerning these themes, and to ensure a future in which equity and equality, are present for every human being in the United States of America. Now, on that note, what one should do is simply reach out to your senators, your congressmen and women, and to ask for that, to ask for the appeal to occur. In an article in NBC News, Senators Tammy Baldwin, Democrat Wisconsin, Elizabeth Warren, Democrat Massachusetts, and Bernie Sanders, Independent Vermont, signed letters urging then FDA Commissioner Dr. Robert Califf to eliminate the deferral policy. Quote, "We cannot say some people can give blood and other people can't based on sexual orientation," end quote. Then Representative Alan Grayson, Democrat, Florida. Who represented Orlando at the time, told reporters, according to the Washington Blade. Gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men are the group most affected by HIV in the U.S., according to the CDC. In 2018, they accounted for 69% of nearly 38,000 new HIV diagnoses across the country. In April, the coronavirus lockdown caused donations to plummet, and the FDA quickly lowered the eligibility requirement for MSM to just 3 months. How convenient, I would say, but that's just my own personal opinion. So by reaching out, by doing these passive movements, by not taking a direct case to whichever court you would like to view it as, one does do good by making our community that much better. I You know, I have talked a lot and I said a lot, and I'm so thankful for you all listening to me up till to this point. And if you're in a different country listening to me, which thankfully I do have some of you listeners, so I do want to thank you all. Thank you. Like, you have no idea. Be thankful that if you are queer, you can donate. We should not take this liberty for granted. And especially here in the United States, yes, I have donated blood. I have met the requirements necessary, even though unethical, I state, by the FDA to donate blood and plasma. So, with all this in mind, I just wanted you all to know that our blood is as red and fabulous as the next person, and that this is why I wrote this policy paper, and I really hope you enjoyed this with me. So currently right now it is December 30th. I can't believe New Year's is nearly upon us. Like, oh my God, be done with this year. Ah. And if I'm unable to put out an episode tomorrow or later on today, I wish you all a wonderful Happy New Year's, as well as I hope you had a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate, darling. Stay fabulous and stay fierce.